Wait.
Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk, the Diaspora Forum. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I'm your host, Jonga Kandemiri. Today we are discussing President Emmerson Mnangagwa's declaration of the El Nino-induced drought as a national disaster. He told reporters in Harare that Zimbabwe needs at least $2 billion in humanitarian aid for millions of people facing a crippling drought. But first, a look at what is happening elsewhere. The U.S. Congress left Washington for a break without deciding on a supplemental funding bill to arm Ukraine and other allies. Republicans who oppose the funding say Congress should spend its money on domestic concerns, but as VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb reports, the funding bill hits closer to home than many Americans may realize.
As Ukraine blames ammunition shortages for recent territorial losses, the Republican-led U.S. House of Representatives has failed to throw Kyiv a lifeline, refusing to bring a vote on a Senate-passed emergency spending bill with $60 billion to support Ukraine.
Nobody agrees with what Putin's done. But when we're taking our hard-earned tax dollars and sending them 5,000 miles away without any end in sight, meanwhile, our border's wide open and our American citizens are being murdered on their streets, that's a problem.
But most of the funds lawmakers have approved to arm Ukraine aren't going directly there. They're being spent here in the United States, in plants like this York, Pennsylvania plant in the congressman's district, to build new weapons and to replace the old weapons sent to Kyiv from U.S. stockpiles.
The York plant is one of dozens of defense industrial facilities injected with congressional funds in support of Ukraine's fight.
And those facilities range from, you know, private factories to government laboratories to ammunition plants that are, you know, World War I or World War II era that are desperately in need of modernization.
VOA gained rare access to the Scranton Army Ammunition Plant, about 3 hours north of York, to see firsthand how those tax dollars are spent. Here, steel rods are molded in the fiery Scranton furnaces, forged into 155-millimeter artillery round shells. The shells are cooled, inspected, and painted to prevent rusting before they're shipped off to be packed with explosives. Northeast Pennsylvania production has doubled from 14,000 155-millimeter shells per month at the start of the Ukraine war to 28,000 per month today. And plant contractor General Dynamics says that number will jump to 36,000 per month when a new production line in a nearby plant goes live in a few weeks.
This is one complete production line infrastructure that you're looking at.
Rich Hansen, who oversees the plant for the Army, says $418 million in taxpayer dollars is funding 20 modernization projects here.
The employee levels, certainly it has increased. And I believe that GD said that it will continue to increase to match the production lines that we install.
200 more new jobs at this plant alone. But a General Dynamics official tells VOA those jobs won't come without increased funding from Congress. And Congressman Matt Cartwright says those jobs will make a difference in places like Scranton.
It's a big shot in the arm. I mean, Scranton, northeastern Pennsylvania, has kind of been bumping along economically.
But while the jobs are important, what's more important, he says, is making sure the U.S. doesn't turn its back on Ukraine.
Not only is it un-American, I'm here to tell you it's un-Pennsylvanian, okay? We have always stood up for democracy and freedom wherever it exists, and I don't think we should change that policy now.
The Army says it needs to produce 100,000 155-millimeter rounds per month starting in 2025. To replenish the more than 2 million rounds the U.S. has sent to Ukraine, and to keep giving Kyiv enough rounds to defend itself.
The U.S. defense industry won't reach that goal, defense officials say, without supplemental funding from Congress. Carla Babb, VOA News, Scranton, Pennsylvania.
In Zimbabwe, the government claims that it has discovered the burial place of the last Ndebele king, Lobengula, whose warriors defeated 34 colonialists in Pupu Lupane, who attempted to kidnap him before he allegedly disappeared. His grave is still unknown, although a delegation led by some state officials, historian Patisa Nyati, and a so-called peripheral Kumalo clan visited the southeastern part of Zambia, where they were informed by the Mpezeni people that King Lobengula was laid to rest in the region in a cave in 1896. No details have been released as Leo Zulukanda Wakumalo, the great-grandson of King Muzilikazi, says it is taboo to talk about Lobengula's grave. He slammed the government for conducting the search for Lobengula's grave without informing the inner circle of the Muzilikazi clan. There was no immediate comment from the delegation that visited Zambia to carry out research on King Lobengula's grave. Now back to the main topic. President Emmerson Mnangagwa today declared the El Nino-induced devastating drought a national disaster, saying Zimbabwe needs $2 billion United States dollars to feed millions of people.
My dear Zimbabweans, the foregoing situation of the climate change-induced drought requires measures and interventions as provided for in our laws. To that end, I do hereby declare a national state of disaster due to the El Nino-induced drought. Accordingly, I now invoke Section 27, Subsection 1 of the Civil Protection Act, Chapter 10,06, which provides that, and I quote, if at any time it appears to the president that any disaster of such a nature and extent that extraordinary measures are necessary to assist and protect the persons affected or likely to be affected by the disaster in any area of the country, the president may, in such a manner as he considers fit, declare that, with effect from a date specified by him, a state of disaster exists within an area or areas specified by him in the declaration. By this declaration, I also call upon all Zimbabweans of goodwill, including those in the diaspora, the international community, United Nations agencies, development and humanitarian partners, international financial institutions, the private sector, churches and other faith-based organizations, as well as individuals, to generously donate towards ameliorating this state of national disaster. Preliminary assessments show that Zimbabwe requires in excess of US$2 billion towards the various interventions we envisage in the spectrum of our national response to the disaster.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking to reporters in Harare. World Food Program Deputy Country Director in Zimbabwe, Christine Mendes, immediately said the declaration paves the way for international humanitarian intervention in Zimbabwe.
As the World Food Program, the declaration of a state of disaster due to drought, induced drought, is very key for us, because this acknowledgement by the government underscores the severity of the situation. It emphasizes the need for us as the humanitarian and development community to coordinate very well with government to make sure that we can reach those who would be most affected in time. We are already thinking what that means for us in absolute numbers. We have often relied on countries like Zambia and Malawi to source commodities if they are not fully available in Zimbabwe. But we know that these countries have also declared states of disaster. And that means for us that we would have to go further away from Zimbabwe to source commodities such as maize and pulses. And that would, of course, mean higher costs and longer lead times for us. So planning is key. Coordination is key between ourselves as development and humanitarian partners. But we continue with our consultation to make sure that we have a good response to preserve the lives of those who are most affected by the drought induced by El Nino.
World Food Programme Deputy Country Director in Zimbabwe, Christine Mendes. WFP says 2.7 million people need food aid by the end of March, while the Food and Agricultural Organization has indicated that about 3.5 million people are in need of such assistance. Some humanitarian organizations also say the situation is expected to worsen within the next few months, as lack of water will also affect millions of livestock. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing President Emmerson Mnangagwa's declaration of the El Nino-induced drought as a national state of disaster. To discuss this topic, we are joined by economist Professor Elliot Masocha of DeVry University in Ohio, here in America. We are also joined by Mr. Tawanda Zokora, a political analyst based in North Dakota, here in the U.S. again, and Mr. Xavier Zavare of ZANU-PF, who is based in Britain. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Dino Tenda, thank you so much. Let me start with you, Professor Masocha. We heard President Mnangagwa's appeal. What do you make of it?
Well, the first thing I want to tell Zimbabweans is that that's how a country must be governed, to cite the law that is empowering the president to do whatever he will be doing. And number two, calling upon everyone, because that declaration is a way of calling all stakeholders throughout the entire world that Zimbabwe needs help. And that's a very good thing to do. But I think, the declaration fell a little bit short on what do we as Zimbabweans, as a government, have so far to help our own people, that we need at least $200 billion on top of what we have. Because I don't believe that, anybody can be helped by outsiders more than we can help ourselves, right? So what do we have ourselves? Don't we have anything that can actually motivate us in the diaspora and everybody else to help out? And then the last point I want to highlight here is that, of course, help is going to come, but we need to know how. The nitty-gritties of how some of us and everybody else who's being called upon, of course, some other organizations, they know how things are going to happen, but the generality of Zimbabweans who may be out of the country may not know how. So we need a follow-up of channels we can help? Does it just mean sending my relatives or not? I may not have relatives to whom are having those problems. So the how part of it should be spelled out very clearly. And then the organization itself, when it gets to giving people food, there is a reputation of some people pointing fingers, denying food to, you know, other people who belong to certain political parties and all that. That's going to erode the confidence, the world, or those who help in us. And I mean corruption. We may end up seeing some of that help being sold in shops in the streets because it has happened before.
So thank you.
Let's just manage things the best way we can in a very transparent way, publishing everything. No reports of anybody who must be denied food in Zimbabwe.
Thank you so much, Professor. Please do stay on the line. And now to you, Mr. Dzokora. We also hear President Mnangagwa appealing to Zimbabweans in the diaspora to donate towards the drought disaster. Do you see Zimbabweans in the diaspora joining in the funding of food aid for Zimbabwe or sending money to the government for purposes of redistributing purchased food to the hungry people? Mr. Dzokora? Hello, Mr. Dzokora? I'm not sure whether Mr. Dzokora is still there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Did you hear my question?
Yes, I heard it.
Okay,
I heard it.
Go ahead and respond.
I don't think there is any sane Zimbabwean who is going to help the government, because we will actually be burdened by our own relatives that have been impoverished by this government. So we know that there is going to be hunger. We know that our relatives will not receive anything from the government. You know how they do it when they receive food aid from other countries. They give only ZANU-PF people. They give only, that will be those that will be, you know, showing them ZANU-PF cards. So the majority of the people in the diaspora belong to the opposition. So I don't see any Zimbabwean giving money to the government that is not doing anything for them, that has denied them their voting rights. What we are seeing right now is just what we have been saying all this time, that we have a daft government, we have a very disorganized government that is going to allow its people to suffer, you know, from this El Nino-induced drought because of poor planning. Zimbabwe should be able to contain this hunger and make sure that all the people are fed. But we are not going to see that because we have poor leadership. I want to tell you four things that prove that we have poor leadership. Zimbabwe is not poor, but we only have poor leadership. On 19 March, the government announced through the Herald that we have enough food in our silos to feed Zimbabweans for the next 5 years. And in the rallies that preceded, Mr. Mnangagwa himself declared that we have enough food in our silos. And right now, as you saw the government a few days ago prioritizing to buy 100 cars for the chiefs when they knew that there is drought coming. And right now, where are they going? They are now begging the United States of America, begging the United Kingdom, begging Europe, those very same people that they demonize, those very same people that they say do not like Zimbabwe, do not support Zimbabwe, that they say are imposing sanctions or are trying to cause regime change in Zimbabwe, they are now coming to the USA. And believe you me, after 6 months of this, you see that the United States of America and the United Kingdom will be right at the top of the countries that would have helped Zimbabwe. They are going to put in millions of US dollars to support the Zimbabwean people.
Thank you.
Where is China? Where is Russia? They will not give you anything. Russia and China are not going to give Zimbabweans anything.
Thank you.
Because all they do is take and take and take. they never give.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Mr. Dzokora. Mr. Zaware, you heard from the two gentlemen. Give us your response.
Well, I wouldn't waste my energy responding to Mr. Dzokora, who is just all froth but no beer, no substance, and spews a lot of ignorant nonsense. For starters, the diaspora is not an opposition-dominated ground. It is a Zimbabwean of all political parties-dominated ground. Now, when the president is calling for support from the citizens of Zimbabwe, it is common sense for any patriotic Zimbabwean who has got a heart, who understands the importance of unity, who understands the importance of oneness, to actually realize this. I often say, looking back into history, Mao Zedong fighting Chiang Kai-shek during the Second World War, they had one thing that they agreed as brothers. When brothers are facing an outside enemy, in this instance, when Zimbabweans are facing an outside enemy, which is the El Nino, it makes sense for brothers to unite and fight the common enemy, and not to seek to politicize and give wrong information about who helps the most, who does what. There is no free lunch in international relations. Every relationship that Zimbabwe has is very important. In fact, one of the reasons why President Mnangagwa said we are a friend to all, an enemy to none, is that doors of friendship are open to everyone who wants to be friends with us. In this instance, by proclaiming this and inviting international organizations, the United Nations, the World Food Program, and so forth, again, he's going on the same foreign policy that we have, which is we are welcoming everyone as a friend to all and an enemy to none. So for Mr. Dzokora to give us
thank you
political nonsense.
Yes, Mr. Zaware, please do hold, stay on the line. Let me bring in our first caller. Hello? Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How are you? Yes, please do mention your name and where you are, and then go ahead and give us what you want to say. Hello?
I can hear you properly.
Yes, your phone is breaking.
Hello? No, it's not breaking. The problem is raining here, so I can't hear you properly.
Okay. So you wanted to hear what we are discussing?
Hello?
Hello? Maybe let us call you back.
Yeah?
Let us call you back. We'll call you back. Thank you. Mr. Zaware, please go ahead because the caller is having difficulties in hearing what we are saying.
That's basically why he is the leader of our party, the leader of our country.
Thank
who
you.
Recognizes, who realizes and recognizes everyone must be supported.
Thank
and
you so much.
That's what we should do. Zimbabweans in the diaspora, Zimbabweans within the country, those with broader shoulders, we should come up and come up with ideas, come up with how we are going to support one another.
Thank you, Mr. Zaware. Thank you. We'll come back to you, Mr. Zaware. Professor Masocha, mataura nyaya yekuti panofananga paine rubatsiro runenge ruchizikanwa kuti hurumende ine imwe mari parutivi. Pane vamwe vari kuti 2 bilioni yataurwa naMnangagwa yakawandisa nokuti vari kutarisa vanhu vari pa 2.7 million. Vamwe vachiti aiwa mari iyo ishoma nokuti rubatsiro ruri kudiwa runosvika runoenda kuvanhu vanodarika 3.5 million. Zvino zvamungataura pamusoro pemari iri kutaurwa iyi nehurumende?
Tandasvika pakutaura pamari iri kutaurwa nehurumende, ndoda kuti tinge tichidzidzisana samaZimbabweans vari pano paforum ino navateereri kuti tiri vana vomunhu mumwe, tose takazvarwa kuZimbabwe, tinoda Zimbabwe. Mashoko atinotaurirana okuti notsenzi nezvimwe zvakadero haavati ndo anotiputsa iwayo.
ndinotenda
kana mwaida different viewpoint unotaurwa dai zvakanaka kuti ndikaiti mudzidzise warashika pakati
ndinotenda zvikuru
saka pamari yataurwa nehurumende ingangova ichinzi yakawanda asi ngatimbotadza kupesana pamari iyoyi itange tambona kwavungana mari ichiinda kupi kana yakawandisa ka ichazongovonekwa inenge yasara yacho kana kuti painenge yaperera saka nharo dzokuti yakawanda ishoma aiwa ngatimboisa zvinhu zvose patebho tisati tatanga kutora patebho tichirasha patebho pasati pambava kana nechunhu
Thank you so much, Professor Masocha. Takutanasa ane time. Our time is running away from us. We have to catch up with it. Let me go to Mr. Jokora. Mr. Jokora, Zambia and Malawi declared this state of disaster some while ago. And President Mnangagwa, as you mentioned, he was promising that the country has enough food. Can we say the fact that he has declared it is timely?
Aiwa, inini regai nditange ndataura nyaya yekutukwa kwandaitwa navazavari vachinditi ndikutaura nonsense. Inini handisirini Herald. Herald vanhu vese ngavaende musi wechipiri, musi weTuesday, 19 March, yakanyora ichitaura kuti Zim to harvest 1 million tons grain. Vainyepa here veHerald? Vakazviona kupi? Ndozvandangodzokorodza kutaura pano. Vamunangagwa mbune vakataura vega kuti tinacho chikafu chakakwana, asi nhasi uno vaakufamba vachitaura kuti vari kuda chikafu marumozuraya vaipa machief motikari 100 tarisai kuti motikari idzodzo dziri kuita marii mamillions anotokwana kupa vana vezimbabwe chikafu asi vazavari vanouya vachisumudza muromo wepamusoro nevepazasi vachitaura kuti ndikutaura nonsense ivo vanhu vachifa nenzara ivo vanhu vachafa nenzara ana zambia ana malawi vamuri kutaura vakatotanga kare kugadzirira nekuti vanga vasinganyepere vana vezimbabwe vanga vasinganyepere vanhu vavo umunowo muzimbabwe tinenge tichinyeperwa zvinhu zvese zviripo asi iko zvino izvi onai patave saka mari yamatauro zvakare kuti iri kudiwa 2 billion tinovaziva vanhu veda vakapiwa 2 billion iyoyoyo zhinji yacho ichaperera muhomwe vanhu vari kumusoro uko shoma shoma ndo ichasvika kuvanhu muchatoona vana vezimbabwe vachifa nenzara ndosaka ndati vanhu vari mudiaspora gadzirirai kusunzira ana mai venyu nana baba venyu vari kumamisha uku nokuti vanourayiwa nenzara nehurumende iyoyi
ndinotenda vadzokora vazavare manzwawo chichemo chatiina chekuti aiwa ngatingopanai mashoko anoremekedza respect each other let me ask you our last question food is normally politicized by or the allegations that food is normally politicized by the ruling party and the opposition supporters sometimes they are left out when it comes to food distribution regardless of who sourced the food. What's your opinion on this or your take?
Right, mashoko anoremekedzeka akanaka zvavo anopiwa kuvanhu vanokodzera kwete kuvanhu vanenge vachitaura zvisirizvo.
All right, nguva iri kuenda vazavari tapanzwa taurai
chinhu. Mashoko ari kutaurwa naPresident Mnangagwa iko zvino chekuti isusu semaZimbabweans senyika imwachete sevanhu vamwachete ngatisei musoro pamwachete nedambudziko ratiwira isusu munyika medu yeZimbabwe. Dambudziko iroro zvokuti rakawirawo kune vamwe vekumalawi kune vamwe vekuzambia kune vamwe vekupi nekupi vakaresponda marespondero avo avakaita akasiyanawo nemarespondero atinoita.
Thank you vadzokora hanzi chikafu chinopedzisira chaitwa politicized 30 seconds.
Izvozvo ndozvatogara tichitoona vanotomiswa murai nechinzi torai mahunza emakadhi ezanu hunza emakadhi ezanu ndozvatichaona ipapa zvichiitika ndosaka ndiri kuti vanhu gadzirirai kupa hama dzenyu ana mai venyu nana baba venyu chikafu nekuti zanu pf
haizoiti
izvozvo
endeye
vanhu vese.
Thank you so much. At this stage we have to say thank you to our guests Professor Elliot Masocha, Mr. Tawanda Jokora and Mr. Xavier Zavare, not forgetting our valued listeners, although we had problems connecting up with them. We have come to the end of our show. Let's meet again next time. This is Jonga Kandemiri signing off in Washington, D.C.